Good morning. Welcome again to Calvary Chapel. How are you? You're fine? Okay. I said, how are you on the first service, and someone said, terrible. So I thought about asking, but whether you're terrible or fine or 50-50, you're welcome here, and we pray that God has something special for you in His Word. Speaking of His Word, the Bible, today we continue our study, our series called At Calvary. And most of you know that usually at Calvary Chapel we study through books of the Bible. We go verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, why we do that. But we wanted to take this month, the month of June, to share with you some specific things about our church that make us who we are, some principles that we believe in very strongly. And none of these are going to be probably new to you if you've been a Christian or you've come from other churches or you're visiting from other places. They probably will not be new things to you, but we want to reemphasize the foundational truths that we hold dear as a church, especially for those of you who are part of this church and part of this family. It's a time to discuss what things make us tick and make us move and that we hold to be important. And one of those things is the Word of God, the Bible. And so before we get started in our study in the Word of God, about the Word of God, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much again for allowing us to gather together here in fellowship, in worship, in praise to you. And Lord, also for the opportunity to study your Word. Lord, we recognize that there are many places in the world today where they do not have your Bible, the Scripture, where they consider it a very valuable thing if they could have even one book of the Bible or one page of the Bible. So, Lord, we thank you that we live in a country where we can gather openly and freely to study your Word. Lord, I do pray that you would reemphasize for us and to remind us of the importance and the value of your Word today. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to ask an average Christian person if they thought that God's Word was important, and God's Word, of course, referring to the Bible, if they thought that God's Word was important, there would be very few of them that would say, no, it's not important. If you ask someone if they thought it was important to read their Bibles and to study their Bibles at church and in other places, they would probably reply by saying, yes, of course, obviously, God's Word is important. But I think in practice, especially in many churches today in our modern day and age, the Bible, which is God's Word, has been placed to the side and has been replaced with something else, whether it be the teaching of men or some different philosophy or some different idea or even some of the latest and greatest self-help books that are out there today. We find, sadly, that many times God's Word is set to the side out of a place of priority and it's given to something else. Well, we just want to reemphasize here that at Calvary, we consider the Word of God to be the center of our service, to be a priority in our worship service together and of our life. We're going to be talking about how we teach God's Word, why we give priority to the Word of God, and then in the last few minutes we have together, we're going to see some of the benefit that God's Word can bring to our lives. Because if you're like me, and you're going to invest in something or to embrace something, you want to know, what is this going to do for me? How is this going to better my life, in my church, in my family, and those sorts of things? We'll be looking at some of the ways that God's Word will benefit us, what we can expect from God's Word. So that's just a little plan of attack today for our sermon. I encourage you to take notes. And also, as we are studying about God's Word, we're going to be looking through God's Word, because everything, as we've mentioned in At Calvary series, will be coming from the Bible, will be coming from the Lord's instruction to us, because that's what we want to build our church upon. First of all, why do we give God's Word a priority here at Calvary Chapel? Not just saying that it's important, but really giving a large place for the teaching of the Word of God and the ministry of God's Word, not only on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, but also in counseling, in marriage fellowship, in wherever you go, you'll find We have a great commitment and dedication to holding fast the truth of the Word of God in the Bible. Why is that? Why do we do that? I've given us three reasons here, if you're noting these. The first, if you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be looking at a verse there. The first reason why we give great priority to God's Word is, and forgive me if this sounds obvious, but the reason why we give great priority to God's Word is because it's God's Word. Did you hear that? Because it's God's Word. This isn't the Word of man. This isn't the Word of the great intellectuals of our day or of past day. This is the Word of God Himself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says that all Scripture, and that is the 66 books of the Bible that we hold in our hand here, the complete divine revelation, the foundation that we have, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? Well, literally it means it was breathed out by God. As these men were writing down the letters or the prophecies or the history or the Psalms or whatever else they were writing down, they were being moved by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, filling them and using them to communicate to human beings the Word and the message of God to us. Every chapter, every verse, every word communicated, God-breathed to us. And so why do we give a priority to the Bible here at Calvary Chapel? Because it's God's message to us. Think about it. God who created everything out of nothing. And that's a big difference. If you're a carpenter and you want to create a table, what do? You get some wood, you get your tools, you get the instructions, though some of the carpenters I've seen don't usually use the instructions. You find a table with three legs and then you create the table or the chair or the house or whatever it is out of the materials that are there. God created everything out of nothing. He started with nothing and created everything that we see. So that is the God that we're talking about. The one true and living God, His Son is Jesus Christ. And He has miraculously done all of this and created us out of nothing. Don't you think it would be important for us to listen to the things that He would have to say to us? Imagine if God were to audibly speak, and He were to speak out of heaven, and He were to tell you something. Wouldn't you listen? Wouldn't you hold that as a priority? Or would you say, wait a minute, Lord, I'm busy reading this great book about this and that. We listen to God's Word, we give it a priority because it's the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, prophecy never came by the will of man. This is talking about there in the Scripture. It never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this isn't the Word of man. We shouldn't replace God's Word with man's Word. I think there's a dangerous wind of doctrine. Let's call it that. That's the description in the Bible. A dangerous message being promoted in the church. Not so much here in Uganda yet, but especially in the United States and different parts of the Western world, that this message is coming across saying that God's Word really isn't that important. You don't really need the Bible to have a good and strong relationship with God. You don't really need the Scripture to have a good church service. You just kind of come together and everybody sort of says what they feel, and then whatever we agree feels best, that's what we do. With no authority, with no truth, with no foundation, with no guidelines, those all come from God's Word. We give a priority to God's Word because it is God's Word, but secondly, because it is the foundation for the church. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, talking about the church, and by the way, I think you know this, but let me just mention it again. The church is more than just this group of people here. The church consists of all believers in Jesus Christ. who believe in Him in truth. Many people who are part of the church are meeting in different local churches this Sunday, all around town and around the world. But when it comes to the church worldwide, we discover in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, that we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The household of God, verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord. What is it saying about the church? It's saying we are being built together as people who believe in Christ. We are the church. And we are being built upon a foundation, and that foundation is built by the apostles and prophets. And I mentioned this last week, that is a reference to the message, the Word of God, that He used these men of God to deliver to us, and now it is written down for us in the Old and New Testament of the Bible. So the church is being built on the foundation of the teaching of the apostles and prophets. Here we have it. Here it is. This is the foundation for the church, and the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says to his son in the faith, to a pastor of a church in Ephesus, that until I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. This is important for the church, the Word of God. It's the foundation. What happens when you remove the foundation from a house? The house will fall. The building will fall. If you remove the foundation of the Word of God from the church will no longer be effective. The church will fall. Good thing Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Finally, why do we give priority to God's Word at Calvary? Because it is through God's Word that we can grow in our relationship with God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I think from teaching in the book studies that we've been doing, you've gotten a little bit spoiled. Because you just have to turn to like Romans or somewhere and you just get to look. You don't have to discover where the things are. You just leave it there. Maybe these topical studies are a little bit good because we can turn back and forth to different parts of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, wait a minute, this means babies. It's not the other kind of babes. In the first service I said, as newborn babes, and I saw a couple of the single guys kind of look up. They woke up and, babes? Babies, children, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Or by the Word of God we are growing in our relationship with the Lord. And some of you may be thinking, I'm not a baby, I'm not a child. Well, it might be a little bit dangerous to think that way. Jesus said, unless someone becomes like a little child, he will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So in the way of humility and of accepting what the Father gives to us, we are like children, and many of us like newborn babies, just receiving the Lord. How are we going to grow? How does a baby grow? You give it milk. You don't give it milk, it doesn't grow. Right? How does an adult grow? Some of us know better than others. You give it food. You give us food, we grow. We mature. That's how it works physically. Spiritually, we're asking the question, how do we grow? We grow through the teaching of the Word of God, through the Bible, in our personal lives, in our church, in our marriages, in our families, with our children. We need God's Word to hold a place of priority so that we can grow. And listen to this. It is my desire for Calvary Chapel Kampala to grow. And I'm not even talking about with numbers, with width. My greatest desire for the people who come on a regular basis to Calvary Chapel Kampala, my greatest heart's desire is that you would grow in your depth of understanding of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. And you will do that through the teaching of the Word of God. It's a fact. Don't you want to grow? Sadly, many Christians, again, are looking everywhere else for growth. Hearing the latest and most popular messages, if they do not contain God's Word, the teaching from God's Word to us, will be ineffective in growth. I read a funny story about hundreds of people are lining up for this new growth technique to gain a few inches in height to their physical stature. It was a report in the New York Times. They said that it was a $6,000 procedure. And here's what happens. If there's any kids, you better close your ears. It involves breaking the bones in the legs, the shins or the thighs. They break your bones, and then they make a brace, a metal brace. They put it on your leg, and over the period of 6 months, they adjust the brace so that as your bones are healing, they're growing as they adjust the brace so you can actually grow like 4 inches. It takes about a year for the thing to happen and for the recovery. One woman who was 5 foot tall, she wanted to be 5 feet 4 inches, said that after this procedure, I'll have a better job, a better boyfriend, and eventually a better husband. She said, it's a long-term investment. People will go to great lengths to grow in length. But for us as Christians, we don't have to break our legs. We don't have to put on the devices. We don't have to do all of these things. All we have to do is give priority to God's word in our lives. We will grow. We will grow. Isn't that good? Imagine if I told you you had to break your legs to grow in the Lord, or break your arms, or whatever. God's word. How do we teach God's word at Calvary? You're saying if God's word does indeed hold a place of priority, then how do we go about making that a priority in our worship services? And for those of you who have been with us for some time, you know that we teach the Bible expositionally, verse by verse, through books of the Bible. We'll take a book of the Bible, we'll start at verse 1, and we'll go through it. Now, this is a unique approach. I know that. There are not many churches that do it this way, but we have a reason. Acts chapter 20. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 20. It's easy to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Verse 26. Paul was speaking to a church that he had been pastoring for 3 years. He's speaking to the leaders, the elders there. And this was his testimony to them. He gave them some instruction and some warning. But he said these words, and these are very informational. They give us great instruction onto the ministry of the Apostle Paul as he was teaching in the early church. He said in verse 26, Acts 20, he said, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. He said, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I have not avoided any part of it, he said. I have declared to you the whole thing. Chuck Smith, who originally started Calvary Chapel in the United States, in Southern California a long time ago, really believed that this was going to make an impact in his community and in his church, and then that it would spread out and impact other parts of the nation and other parts of the world. He was right. And what he says about this approach to Bible teaching is this, and this is a quotation from a book called The Calvary Distinctives. If you want more information about Calvary Chapel in general, there's that book there. He said, now I believe that I can say to the people of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, that was his church. He said, I can say to them, I have declared to you the whole counsel of God. Because we have taken them from Genesis to Revelation 7 times. And he said, we're now currently on our 8th time around. The entire Bible, every word, Genesis to Revelation, their church has gone through it 7 times, the whole thing. So he says, when I leave, I can say, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He says, we don't skip anything. And that's why the majority of Calvary Chapels and the most successful ones, and by the way, Calvary Chapel is among the largest churches in the United States, among the top 10 largest as far as numbers churches, and there's a reason for it. It's not really because of dynamic preaching. Some of you are thinking, amen, that's true. That's true. This is one of the main reasons. He says the most successful ones, you'll find the systematic teaching of the entire Word of God going through the Bible from cover to cover. Hallelujah. Sunday mornings, we take topical sermons, no problem. We usually study a book of the Bible. We just finished the book of Romans. We jump around. Wednesday nights, our Bible study is through the Bible. We started in the book of Genesis. We are now in the middle, the exact middle of the book of Psalms. Psalm 75, we just finished this last Wednesday. And we won't stop until one of two things happens. One, Jesus comes back. Or two, we get to Revelation in the end of Revelation. Praise the Lord. And I haven't been here for the whole thing. Josh has taught some. You probably haven't been here for all of the teachings. But one thing's for sure, that here at Calvary Chapel Kampala, we are declaring, we have made a commitment to teach the entire Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. It's a priority. It's a priority. And I'm telling you something from my own observation. I've been here 6 years. That God is using this church. God is growing this church. And many of you who I knew, whom I saw get saved, I now see in ministry. I now see in the Bible college. I now see teaching at the Bible college, doing great things for the Lord. We give credit to the Lord and we thank Him for the tool that He has given us. That is His Word, the Bible. It's a little bit different than topical teaching. Most churches will approach the Scripture, and even good churches, by teaching topically. I think there's a little bit of a problem with that, personally, because when you teach topically, the temptation is, and I'm speaking from personal experience, the temptation for a pastor, and if there's any pastors in the room, you know what I'm talking about, is to choose only those topics that you like, or that you know the people will like. You definitely won't choose any topics that are hard to understand or difficult to receive. There was a man named Mark Twain. He said, most people are bothered by those passages which they cannot understand. He said, but as for me, I always notice that the passages in Scripture which trouble me the most are the ones which I do understand. And I think that's true. It's not so much the ones we don't understand that bother us. It's the ones that we do understand but don't like. Be honest. There are parts of the Bible. You read through the Old Testament. You read through some of the things that it says. You read through some of the commands. You read through some of Jesus' sayings. And some of those things are hard to hear. And if we get to choose our topic every week, we'll just take the option of choosing around those different things. Let me say this. Teaching through the Bible on Wednesday nights, I'm telling you, it's not an easy commitment to keep. When you come up to a chapter or two or ten of things that are difficult to understand or difficult to receive, it's not easy, but we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And is profitable. We don't just want to teach the whole counsel of God. We also want to teach the Word of God with understanding. Let me turn you to one more verse. This one's in the Old Testament. I promise I won't make you turn anywhere else. It's in the book of Nehemiah. If you hit Psalms, just turn right. Just turn left, I mean. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah was experiencing a time of great revival. You're saying, what kind of pastor are you? You don't even know where Nehemiah is. How can you teach? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. As they were having a time of revival, the Word of God, we find, was a big part of that revival. As they taught the Word of God, it gives us some direction. Nehemiah 8, verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book of the law, and they gave the sense, and they helped them to understand the reading. Did you hear Nehemiah 8:8? It's saying Ezra got up, Ezra the scribe, he read the word of God. He just read it. But he didn't just read it. He made sure that the people understood it. He gave the sense and the meaning and made sure that when the people left from that place, they would go away with an understanding and even an application of the word of God into their lives. We want to bring the Word of God, not just to say, we teach the Word of God. It does no good if you don't understand what is being taught, right? So we put it in a way to where we break it up in such a way to where we can take it, where we can understand it, and where we can take it with us. I laughed as I read a story of three boys, and as we're talking about the issue of understanding what we say, three boys were talking about their father's excellence. One of them said, my father is a great professor, a great lecturer. When he is talking about a subject, only 10 people in the world can understand him. The other boys were amazed. The second boy said, my father is a great brain surgeon specialist. He knows everything. And when he starts talking about his surgery, only 5 people in the world can understand him. The final boy said, well, my father is a pastor. When he starts preaching, nobody can understand what he's saying. We know that God's Word is important, but it won't be very important to us unless we understand what it is saying and are able to apply it to our lives. I've been to many churches, and they are even good churches, where the content of the message is more... How do I put this? I'd struggle in the first service. It's more exciting than it is instructional. It's full of praising, and you know what I'm talking about. You don't usually see it here at Calvary Chapel, and maybe that's my own fault. I don't usually walk around a lot on the stage. Sometimes when I get out to here, I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I have to run back to the pulpit. We don't have the marching. I don't come wearing camouflage and the army hat, you know, declaring we're, you know, whatever. I don't usually jump around a lot. And that's just a personal thing for me. If you do that, I don't, you know, that's fine. The messages maybe aren't so... I don't see people raising their chairs above their heads like this whenever I'm preaching, like you see in some churches. It may not be the most exciting place to be. I know that. But listen, rather than being the most exciting place to be, I want you to walk out of this place with a greater understanding of who God is and of who we are and a greater knowledge of the Word of God. If you go out of this place and remember that when you leave this building, then I have succeeded in what I wanted to do. Even if you slept through a quarter of it, but you got three quarters, I praise the Lord. Because what happens when you go out of those exciting places? I've done it, and I've been excited. I may not have jumped up and down, but they were there. And you get excited, and you hear the preaching, and the guy is preaching, and he's sweating, and he's wiping the sweat off, and he's jumping, and he's shouting, and everybody's saying amen, and praise the Lord. And then when we get out of the door, you think about it, and you wonder, what exactly was it that he said? It was exciting. And then Monday comes, and Tuesday comes, and you're at work, you're at school, and you're in your family, and you're back to normal life, and there's no more excitement, and there's no more shouting, and there's no more jumping, and there's no more sweating, and there's no more chairs going up, and there's no more keyboards going, dee. Every time something good is said, yeah, Moses, can you come up here? And that would have been a good part. Dee. And there's no more smiling and laughing, and now you are in real life. And I want to give you something. We as a church, let me say this, are committed to giving you something that may not be the most exciting thing to hear on Sunday mornings. It's not the most exciting, I know. But I want to give you something so that when you walk out of that door, you will be able to remember some of the things that were spoken. And when Monday comes and Tuesday comes and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and temptation is coming and the problems of this world are coming, you will be able to remember what God has said about it through His Word. That's our goal. That's our objective. And maybe I could be a little bit more exciting too. Maybe next week I'll jump around a little bit more. A preacher once visited a home and saw a child riding a rocking horse. Those are those wooden horses that they just rock around. He saw a child riding a rocking horse. After watching the boy for some time, he remarked that he reminds me of some Christians. There's plenty of motion, but no progress. Plenty of motion, but no progress. Maybe we'll have a little bit less motion here, but I'm telling you something. Through the teaching of God's Word, we will have progress here in Uganda. We are having progress. What can God's Word do for me? What can I expect from God's Word? If it's such an important part, and we've heard a couple of things on how it is presented and how our philosophy of teaching, well, what can we expect? What are we going to get out of this? And what can we look for in our lives as a result of teaching God's Word? I've written down six things. We're going to do them briefly. We're not turning to any more passages, though I'll read a couple of them. I've written down six things. I could have written down 600 things. This is not a complete list. The benefit of reading God's Word, it is endless. Six things for us to take with us today. Number one, growth. We already talked about that. 1 Peter 2:2, that we may grow thereby. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How are we going to grow? It's not by bread alone. It's by the Word of God. Secondly, power. Power. We love power here in Uganda. We love umeme power. We love spiritual power. Let me say this about umeme power. Don't you hate it when you get load shed or the power goes off? It happened in the first service. We have problems with umeme power, but listen. If you don't want to have spiritual load shedding, spiritual load shedding, you need God's Word to supply us with that power. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ found in the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. God's Word, when studied on a regular basis, when applied to our lives, will supply us with that spiritual power. We don't want to have a spiritual load shedding when temptation is coming. When problems are coming. We want to have that ability, that sufficiency for every good work. Thirdly, it provides cleansing. Spiritual cleansing. Ephesians 5, verse 26 says that Jesus wants to sanctify and cleanse the church by the washing of water. How? By the Word. The washing of water by the Word. The Word of God, when read, when studied, when applied to our lives, will provide cleansing, spiritual cleansing, from the disgusting things that this world has to offer. Don't we get that dirt on us sometimes? You do during the week, don't you? You go places, you do things you shouldn't do, you say things, you think things you shouldn't say. When we get to the Word of God, it provides that cleansing for our lives. It washes us. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, the Word of God. Fourthly, and this is a word loaded with meaning that is accurate and meaning that is inaccurate. The Word of God, what can we expect when we make it a priority? We can expect prosperity in life. Prosperity. Have you ever heard that word prosperity before? Someone said last week, hey, look at these envelopes. Is this prosperity teaching? What is this? The word to prosper is not a translation of the word money. Did you know that? It doesn't mean money. The word to prosper, literally, in the New Testament, if you look at the original language of which the New Testament was written, when you see the word prosper, it is made up of two Greek words, one of them meaning good, and the other one meaning a road. So the word prosper means a good road. What's an illustration? You're driving in Uganda, you're in a taxi in Uganda, you have some roads that are good roads, freshly tarmac, they're all prepared for Queen to come. Then you have other roads that have some potholes and some bumpy parts and those sorts of things. So prosperity means that our life, physical and spiritual, is like a good road. We're not just being shaken around. We just ride on that smooth stuff. That's what the word prosper means. And God's Word will help us and cause us to prosper in life. I wish some of these other churches that talk about prosper this and prosper that would get back to the teaching of God's Word, because then they would truly prosper. Psalm 1, among many, verses 2 to 3. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That's a reference to God's Word. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How? By meditating in the Word of God day and night, you will prosper. Did you like that last part, how I said that? It was exciting, wasn't it? Number five, God's Word will give us direction in life. Direction in life. You don't know where to go, what to do, who to marry. Maybe you got jealous when you heard about the marriage fellowship today, the barbecue and the movie and all this for married people only. Then you got angry and bitter in your heart. Well, the Lord has someone for you probably. You need direction in life. You want to know where to go. You want to watch out for danger in the path. The Word of God, Psalm 119, verses 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're walking around, you're going home, it's dark, there's no moon, there's no stars, there's no lights, you don't know where you're going. What do you need? You need a torch. A katorchi, even, can work. So you can find your way, the light for your path. That's what God's Word does for us. It gives us direction and purpose and meaning in this life. And then finally, and this is the greatest thing of all, the greatest purpose for the Word of God is to give us a better relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. God's Word can help us in our relationship with Jesus. And everything is about Jesus anyways, isn't it? Everything is about Jesus. Everything we do at Calvary, all this stuff, is all about Jesus. And God's Word especially. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me." Do you know that every book has a subject? The subject of a Bible, the topic of the Bible, is Jesus. Every part of it. Jesus said in Luke 24:27, he began at Moses and all the prophets, Genesis, throughout all the prophets, and expounded to them in all the Scriptures, what? The things concerning himself. We love the Bible and we give a priority to the Bible because we know that through God's Word, we will have a better relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. So I hope today we've had a greater love and appreciation for the Word of God, and we have a greater purpose in our church to give God's Word a priority. And I'm telling you, the possibilities are endless if we stay faithful to this book and faithful to our God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. The world had better get ready for us as a church, because God is going to do great things. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, we know that everything that we do is about You. And so we honor You with our lives and with this church, with our families. Lord, we pray that You would help us and strengthen us to do the right thing and to go the right way. Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room today would have a greater commitment to the Word of God, a greater desire for personal Bible study and Bible reading, but a greater love for teaching that is from Your Word. Lord, as the psalmist said, so we say this morning, in Your Word we place our trust. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Lord, we pray that You would do this great work in our midst. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.